let's move to item 387.
Require annual energy performance reporting for commercial buildings to promote reduction in local carbon emissions.
Well, thank you, and thanks for folks that were waiting to speak on this item. Let me just take a couple minutes and introduce it. This is a resolution that will require commercial buildings over 20,000 square feet to track their energy use and report that to the community on an annual basis. Around this time last year, I actually got the chance, as I think some of us have, to present these kinds of awards. I presented some awards to owners and managers for their work and success in what we call the Kilowatt Crackdown Program. And that's a friendly competition among building owners that tracks their energy use and worked with technical advisors to make operational changes. And it was very successful. It worked. The buildings that tracked their energy and made low to no cost improvements saw some significant reductions in their energy use, meaning that they saved money and they lowered carbon emissions. And we were happy about the results, but only 51 buildings participated. So there's obviously a lot of potential for more people to obtain these benefits. Commercial buildings alone create about a quarter of our local carbon pollution. So this is an important area for us to make policy in. The proposal that we'll hear today is similar to one that's been working in 11 other cities and two other states. Just like the miles per gallon sticker on cars, information about energy performance gives owners, managers, tenants, and buyers useful information for making decisions. It also, as obviously was the case with the Kilowatt Crackdown, gives people motivation to make improvements and save energy. We know that a lot of people already are tracking and managing energy in their buildings, and we know that some people have some discomfort about sharing their performance information. In response, this proposal has been revised, and you'll hear about that from the Planning Sustainability Bureau staff who are here to talk about that to try to make this more responsive and more workable for people. I just want to say, before we get going, that I really appreciate the very careful effort that the Planning and Sustainability Bureau has made to reach out and work with the community, work with the commercial building community in developing this proposal. Although, you know, in any new thing, we rarely reach perfect consensus, and we haven't reached a perfect consensus in this case. We certainly have brought a lot of people along in this discussion and reached a lot of agreement with the commercial building community, and I really appreciate the extra effort, Susan, that you and your staff made to get that far in mutual understanding about a mutual program that will have a lot of community benefit. So thank you, and with that, I'll turn it over to you, Director Anderson.
Thank you, Mayor. Commissioners, Susan Anderson, Director of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and with me is my team who worked on this project, Michael Armstrong and Elisa Kane, and also Vin Mason, who is right there. All right. So the ordinance in front of you is a result of some great collaboration among many of the different bureaus and among community members, including very dedicated building owners, managers, and industry professionals. As you all know, in 1993, we adopted the first climate action plan in the United States for local government. Since that time, the rest of the U.S. has continued to increase carbon emissions by 7% on average, while Portland has cut total emissions by 14% and cut per person emissions by 35%. So we're clearly going in a different direction. And we did all this while we were creating jobs and also obviously by growing the city's population to more than 600,000 people. We continue to be a leader nationally and internationally, and we've set a goal to cut emissions by 80% by 2050. But to reach that goal, all of us have to do our part. So that's government, that's residents and businesses. And as the mayor indicated, reducing energy use in buildings is a critical part of that picture. In Portland, commercial buildings alone contribute 25% of local carbon emissions, and powering those buildings costs more than $330 million a year. We know that reducing energy saves money, but we also know that it creates local construction jobs and jobs in our clean tech industry. So thousands of these jobs are now a part of our local clean tech economy. So the proposed ordinance that you have in front of you, you're considering that will make Portland the 12th city in the United States to adopt an energy benchmarking policy. You usually wouldn't catch me coming up here and saying we're number 12. I try to usually get the number down to one or two, but this time we're number 12, and we're number 12 by choice. because a few years ago we chose to step back and see how this would work on the ground. We actually started this effort when I worked for Commissioner Saltzman, when it was the Office of Sustainable Development. We decided very clearly to go a voluntary route first. To see how it worked. And we did a very collaborative pilot project with BOMA, with the Energy Trust of Oregon, with many other partners in what we called the Kilowatt Crackdown. Several dozen buildings were a part of that project. We learned a lot about the tracking software. We learned a lot about opportunities for energy savings. And during the pilot, we also researched and compared all of the different ordinances from other cities. And sometimes the value of being number 12 is you learn a lot from everybody else's mistakes. So I think we've really got this one right. With all the study, I feel like we're on the right track, and we will have real savings as a result. We've also found that it's not just something that's true for cities. We found that tracking energy use and energy investing in energy efficiency in our own city facilities have had a great payoff. We've been tracking energy use for city facilities for more than 25 years and making investments. We've saved more than $55 million over those 25 years, and last year alone saved more than $6 million on our energy bills. So to wrap up, you know, in my job as planning and sustainability director, I often try to bring you something new, innovative, you know, sort of on the edge. And this time, I'm bringing you something very tried and true. We know this works, and we know that it'll be a smart move for the city. So I'm going to turn it over to Michael to walk through just what it is we're proposing, and it's probably just a 4 or 5 minute presentation.
Okay. Thank you. Michael, Lisa, please.
Right. So, Mayor, Hills, Commissioners, I'm Michael Armstrong. I manage sustainability programs for the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I'll describe the key elements of the proposal, and then, as you noted, Mayor, there are several modifications that have emerged as a result of the process, and so I'll highlight those. The central feature to this is to improve the transparency around building energy performance. You referenced the miles per gallon sticker. We all see this, and we get a sense of it. We've got the energy guide labels on appliances of all sorts. We have a tool like this for buildings, but we don't yet use it widely. And so this proposal would bring that into wide adoption among larger commercial buildings. Many building owners already do this, an even larger number do not. And so the proposed ordinance would affect about 1,000 buildings, and those buildings account for 80% of the square footage of the building types that this would address. It does not affect about 4,000 buildings that are smaller. And so we're trying to focus this effort on the buildings that where we do get the largest square footage, and we don't want to create undue burden for the smaller buildings that for which this might be more of a stretch. The ordinance requires building owners to do two things. And if we could bring up the slide here, I have just a couple of these. So as I noted, this would affect buildings, commercial buildings larger than 20,000 square feet. And it would require them to do two things. First, they would benchmark their energy use using the Energy Star Portfolio Manager tool. This is a free tool made available by the US EPA and Department of Energy. It's very well established, widely used in the industry. And so it's a good benchmark that many of our building owners are already familiar with. And the second thing that the ordinance would require is that those buildings on an annual basis would provide the city with three things that are produced out of this Portfolio Manager tool. An Energy Star score, the energy use intensity, so the amount of energy per square footage, per square foot in the building, and then the carbon emissions. The ordinance also requires tenants to provide their energy use information to the building owner if they have it separately metered, so the building owner can get a whole building picture of that energy use. It also requires utilities to provide building owners access to their data. And they already routinely do this, and so we're formalizing that that relationship so that building owners have the easiest opportunity possible to get that data. And data access is actually a good example of the kind of issue we've been working through for a number of months now. We need to make sure that tenants are supplying it to the owners, that utilities, where it's practical, can roll that up for building owners so that this all becomes a lot easier and more streamlined. We're not to full automation yet. I think you'll hear from a couple of the utilities about where they are in moving toward that, and we'll keep working through this. As Susan noted, this is in place in a dozen other or 11 other communities. They also have worked through these issues, so we're confident it can be done here as well, and we already have buildings that are doing it. So the ordinance is proposed to cover five different building types, so the ones on the left-hand side in this slide: offices, retail, grocery stores, healthcare and higher ed, and hotels. It's not proposed to cover any sort of residential facility, including nursing homes, places of worship, parking structures, educational facilities, and warehouse and industrial. And the reason we don't have schools in here is because they already are benchmarked through a state program. And so that already happens, so there's no need for an additional local requirement for that. The other key feature here is that this policy would phase in over 2 years. And so we would start first with the larger buildings, 50,000 square feet and up. They would report a year from now on the 2015 calendar year performance. And then the smaller, still 20,000 square foot up buildings would report starting the following year. And then in each case, it would move forward on an annual cycle. During the policy development and public comment process, we heard a number of concerns. Mayor, you identified several of those. One of them is simply discomfort with sharing these scores publicly. We also heard some concerns about uncertainty about the ability to get access to the actual energy use data. And so that led to some of the provisions that I described around tenants and utilities being obliged to provide that to building owners. We also heard concerns from institutions like a big campus, and again, you'll hear from at least one of those, where they may have several buildings, all of which are fed by a single utility meter. And so to disaggregate that by building just isn't practical. They don't have the data. And so to address this last concern, we've included a provision that lets campuses aggregate their buildings and report on an entire campus basis, so energy use per square foot and carbon emissions, rather than on a building-by-building basis. And for the most part, we know they do a very good job tracking their energy use. So we think that's a really important accommodation. The one other thing we did was to add a year to the timeline by which the scores would become public to give building owners a year to improve their performance and hopefully get a better score if they feel like they would like to have one before the scores are made readily available to the public. And so I think, you know, as you acknowledged, that's probably not going to satisfy everyone's concerns, but we think it adds to the phase-in of the policy and gives building owners a chance both to make sure they're benchmarking correctly and gives them a chance to improve their score as well before it's readily available to the public. One final recommendation that we heard during the public comment process was to include more building types, so perhaps multifamily apartment buildings, perhaps warehouse and industrial, and that's the kind of thing I think as part either of this conversation or next week we'd welcome your guidance on in terms of if there's a next phase to this. We certainly are willing to work on that. We see the reporting requirement as an essential component to accomplishing energy efficiency in commercial buildings. We also know that to really see these benefits, we need to work with the building community to provide technical assistance, to help connect them to incentives, and to access all kinds of financial and technical resources from our partners like the Energy Trust of Oregon, Northwest Energy Efficiency Alliance, and others. And so we've stayed in close contact with those organizations throughout this process. They're very interested in this. I think they're looking at how their programs may be able to work with building owners who are following through on this. So I think this creates a lot of opportunities for further partnerships. One other piece to this is that we have also stayed in close touch with Multnomah County, and Commissioner Bailey is here this afternoon. The county is working on some new financing tools that may be a good opportunity for commercial buildings to finance their energy efficiency improvements. And so, you know, all of this, I think, supports the broader community effort to make it easy, provide motivation, but also the resources to improve energy efficiency in buildings. So as Susan noted, we're in line here to be number 12. This gives you a sense of the geographic distribution of the other cities that have already done this. We have learned a lot from them. We certainly look forward to continuing to follow up with them on how it's going, what seems to be key to their success, and certainly sharing our own stories as well. So with that, I know we have a number of people lined up for testimony. I think Alisa, Susan, and I are happy to answer questions if you have them at this time.
I just have a couple questions. The first one is, how much of a variance will we see in commercial buildings based on the kinds of tenants that occupy and use the building? So what's the range from a high-energy consumer to a low-energy consumer that we might see?
Answer.
Sure. Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Alisa Kane, Green Building Manager with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. So to answer Commissioner Fish's question, in an office building, you'll see a number, the score is between 1 and 100. And so a low performer would score less than 50 or be less than average. A high performer would be in the 80s or 90s. To point out, for example, this building is in the high 80s in terms of its ENERGY STAR score, because we've spent a lot of time looking at energy efficiency here. But in terms of its tenancy, the beauty of the program itself is that it allows you to identify high energy users, such as a data center, or if you have a dry cleaner or a restaurant in there, it makes note of that and doesn't try to compare you to then an office building. It will help to blend those numbers and create a score that doesn't penalize you for having high energy users in your building.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Okay. Other questions for the team? Might be more later, but thank you very much.
Thank you.
And let me next call Commissioner Bailey, who's here. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity. For the record, I'm Jules Bailey, Multnomah County Commissioner for District 1, and I have some history with energy efficiency as well. And it's a pleasure to be in front of you today. I want to start out by commending the work of your staff. You have a group of rock stars at BPS. There's just no other way to say it. And we really enjoy working with them on this and on the Climate Action Plan, which we're very proud of and obviously is in development as we speak. And speaking of rock stars, there's a whole room full of great minds on this behind me, so I'll keep my comments short so we can get through the testimony. As was mentioned before, Multnomah County is excited to partner with the city. Look forward to working with you on this effort through the aegis of the Climate Action Plan that really calls out energy use as a key strategy towards achieving our climate goals. And in doing so, as you may know, we are also working with the city as in development of a commercial property assessed clean energy program where hopefully when the program is up and running, we will have the opportunity to be able to provide low-cost financing options and resources to commercial building owners to be able to upgrade their buildings for energy efficiency. It's a very exciting program, and I think that there's a partnership here on it. I also have to say that as we have this discussion about energy efficiency, I am reminded of the principle that you get what you measure. And what is really the case here is that when we measure energy efficiency, when we measure energy use, we get an investment in it. And I have a little bit of a bone to pick with Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter, I think, is famous for saying that conservation is about turning down the heat and putting on a sweater or something to that effect. That is, I think, set back the conversation on energy efficiency to this day. That is not what we're talking about. What we're talking about here is investments in an asset. And we know that energy efficiency is the cheapest way to meet our climate goals. It's one of the most cost-effective ways to invest in an energy asset. And it's one of the best ways that we know to work on our job creation goals and put people back to work. We've got a huge competitive advantage in Multnomah County, in the city of Portland, and in the region around building professionals, energy efficiency, old school firms and new school firms that are partnered on this, from architectures to data management to the folks that actually are the boots on the ground doing the work. We've got a cluster, and we've got an opportunity to build on it. I do also want to say that I would encourage you, as this goes forward, to continue in the vein that has been pursued by the staff at BPS in making sure that this is a program that is workable for building owners, that is a process that is easy to use, that is a smooth pathway, and that respects the challenges that they face in this. Because at the end of the day, we're going to win when they are interested in partnership and in improving those buildings, and it has to be a team effort. So, thank you for the work that you're doing today. Excited to be part of it and happy to take any questions.
Thank you.
Commissioner Bailey, I have great respect for all the work you've done on this issue and many other issues, but I have to say that as Transportation Commissioner, I'm kind of a big fan of Jimmy Carter, because Jimmy Carter established the 55-mile-per-hour speed limit, which saved both lives and energy. So if you got a problem with Carter, you got a problem with me.
All right, take it outside.
Touché, Commissioner.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Appreciate you being here and your cooperation in this, and your the rigor that you bring to it from professional experience as well. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Well, let me call a panel, please, of John Russell, Renee Loveland, and David Ginrich. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and council members. I'm John Russell. I have some credibility to testify in this matter because one of my buildings, the 200 Market Building, is the first LEED building in America in the biggest category of all, which is existing multi-tenanted buildings. And I'd like to say that Commissioner Bailey enabled my testimony to be even shorter because one of the 2 points I was going to make is that you get what you measure, and building owners are motivated to care about this. But the other point is that there's just so much low-hanging fruit in energy efficiency. It's really remarkable. And we did achieve this remarkable thing with LEED, but we didn't do it with anything that was very sophisticated. It wasn't rocket science. As just one example, the 200 Market Building has a 4-acre underground garage. The lights were on for 30 years. You couldn't turn them off safely until we figured out with dimming ballasts and sophisticated occupancy sensors at Sunday midnight, the garage is dark unless there's somebody there. So that's the sort of thing that if people cared, and I think if you measure it, they will, there's tremendous energy efficiency without a rocket science.
Wow, what a great example. Thank you. Welcome.
Welcome. Good afternoon. For the record, my name is David Genrich. I'm a general manager here in town with Jones Lang LaSalle, and I'm also the Oregon chapter president for the Institute of Real Estate Management. So on both behalves, I want to speak in favor of the proposed ordinance. In my industry, a few years ago, if we were tracking energy, if we were putting in green initiatives, it really was considered a good business practice. Today, it's absolutely a must. My clients expect it. My tenant customers expect it. My staff expects it. It's no longer really an option for what I do here in Portland. It's really a requirement of my job. Energy Star really is the gold standard for measuring this. Nationally, there are over 400,000 buildings that are participating in the Energy Star program. Of the 11 current municipalities who are in the program today, there are over 49,000 buildings that are currently reporting. Of those buildings reporting, only Austin and Seattle are in a non-reporting jurisdiction from a public standpoint, but 92% of the buildings today, of those 49,000, are in jurisdictions where that information is being reported. You know, the same information, inspect what you expect. Your MPG analogy, very accurate and very online with that. It's not a difficult process. It's not a difficult program. I worked with it for several years. It comes at no cost from a fee standpoint. It does take some time to do it, but it's a great metric. Does Energy Star in itself save money? Absolutely not. But nationally, the buildings that are in Energy Star versus those that are not typically see about a 3% savings, and that's a huge number. Any other comments? I'd love to answer on this, but I very much am in favor of this.
I have one question.
Yes.
Almost every debate we've had as a council in the last month, someone has come forward and said that some aspect of compliance violated a privacy right or proprietary information. Is there any information that we're requesting in connection with this ordinance that you view, that in your assessment, could qualify as either covered under a right of privacy or proprietary information?
Not being an attorney, but from my practitioner standpoint, I mean, it's really owners coming into the market want to know this information. Tenants want to know this information. People track that. 92% of the 49,000 buildings across the country are reporting currently. Chicago and New York are the two biggest markets. They make up about 60%. They're in full compliance, full reporting markets. So I don't see an issue with this. I've heard the comment myself that it penalizes older buildings, and that's not the case. I have the 2014 report with me from New York and Chicago. They very specifically address that issue and very clearly and statistically state that's not the fact. I worked on an older building in downtown Portland, 1979 construction, one of the recipients of an award in the Kilowatt Crackdown program, and that building has a 93 Energy Star score, meaning it outperforms 93% of the buildings in the country. Portland's not being modeled against Portland. We're being modeled against like buildings around the country. And as they mentioned, there are parameters for data centers, retail, that truly stabilize this and truly make this a level playing field. And an inexpensive one at the same time.
Yeah, good point. Sitting here in an 1895 building, it's nice to know it's possible.
And very admirable to be in the high 80s or your score currently.
Yeah.
It's
got
a huge accomplishment.
With remodeling. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Welcome.
Welcome, Mayor Hales, Commissioners. For the record, Renee Loveland with Girding Eadland. I'm the Sustainability Manager there, so I've worked across a lot of our portfolio on the side of energy efficiency and but lately have been using Energy Star across our investment management portfolio in many different markets. Portland continues to be a national leader in green building. We know that, and we're very proud of it, but not all green buildings perform to their full potential, as we've been learning, you know, in recent years. And there's a tremendous amount of opportunity in the existing building stock. This is where the potential for a real impact on decreasing carbon emissions and reducing energy use lies. In order to accomplish this, better awareness and greater action is needed. The first step to taking action is basically just having information. And as my fellow panelists have indicated, a lot of this information is being tracked already. Energy Star scores are useful in comparing a building's performance against a national accepted baseline for similar buildings. So that's an important part of what we're looking at with this program. Building owners and operators who track and pay attention to their performance metrics can then use this information to make more informed capital improvement decisions and determine within their portfolios which assets need that attention more than others. The fact that the policy requires the use of Energy Star Portfolio Manager in reporting makes a lot of sense. It's widely used. It's well recognized. It has a lot of credibility. And the EPA actually makes a lot of training available for people to get familiar with the program. We've been using it, as I said, over the past several years. All of the other markets in which we're doing business currently have this mandatory reporting in place, and we have seen it work well for our properties. We haven't yet had to report on our multifamily, but for commercial buildings, certainly, and then actually just recently this past year in Boston for one of our multifamily properties. But the statement of energy performance that's generated by portfolio manager basically becomes the reference point. And so it's all very streamlined and easy to manage and deal with. Many energy efficiency improvements have added benefits. I think it's important to look at how indoor air quality is improved and thermal comfort can be improved by taking on energy efficiency improvements. And so there's additional value that's created for building owners in that context. There are also incentives that are available, and I am very glad that the kilowatt crackdown and other steps that the city has taken is emphasizing the linkage there and making those resources well-known and available to building owners and managers. And as we heard from Commissioner Bailey, there are some alternative financing proposals that are coming about and I think are really going to change the landscape and give building owners and managers additional resources to act upon this information that is so vital. So this is about promoting Portland's leadership and best practices to advance energy efficiency, and we commend the work that the Bureau has done to date and are here to support that.
Thank you. I had a technical question that you're in a good position to answer that I didn't get a chance to ask the staff, and that is you have in the brewery blocks a central chilling plant that serves multiple buildings. Does either the campus exception or the campus approach or just the way you measure energy still make it feasible to do this on a building by building basis, even though you have a common centralized district energy system there?
That is a very good question, and that is a more technical question than I am prepared to answer. We have not, we don't own the brewery blocks any longer, so my connection there isn't what it used to be.
Yeah, I'd be curious about how that's going to work because we're trying to encourage more district energy. They actually, or your company actually did it in the case of the development of that project. Mm-hmm. I assume that there's metering involved in terms of how much each building is using. So maybe that's, Michael's looking like he might know the answer to that question. So
right.
Maybe it still comes out building by building. Even though there's a central source for the energy that's being
used. I would suspect that that's true. The 12 West building, which we currently do still have an ownership interest in and manage, is attached to the chiller plant and is served by the chiller plant as well. It's the one building outside of the brewery blocks that is also served, and we definitely have our exact usage information that comes to us, and we're billed on that. So,
good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. buildings. Any other?
I think a short answer to that would be sub-metering.
Sub-metering,
very,
yeah.
Very yep. feasible and
yeah.
easy to do.
Okay. So you could figure it out through that, yeah.
And for the record, I'm also an admirer of Jimmy Carter.
The debate continues. Thanks very much. Okay, let's next call Susan Stewart, Jeanette Shaw, and Alan Scott, please. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon. I'm Susan Stewart, Mayor, Council for Boma, Oregon. And first of all, Boma started these contests similar to the Kilowatt Crackdown. Actually, they're all Kilowatt Crackdowns. We just call them different names just to keep things confusing. And since 2007, my members have reduced their energy usage by almost 29 million kilowatt hours. So benchmarking works. Everything the previous panel said is correct. When the city came to us a couple years ago and said, hey, we like what you're doing, let's partner, we went, okay, a little hesitant, but thought, okay. And I have to tell you, it turned out to be a great experience. We met a lot. I don't even know if I could ever count the number of hours, but we met a lot. We argued a lot. We worked hard. We did good work. And I think the biggest benefit that Boma got out of it is I really feel like we have a really strong public-private partnership now. You know, we work with a lot of bureaus, but I think we work well together, and we're looking forward to going forward, helping with this program. Having said that, because of our experience with benchmarking all these years, we have a few concerns about what's planned. I'm understanding that the city is not planning on adding staff to BPS for this program. And as I look at, and I've played with portfolio manager myself, benchmarking 1,000 buildings is a big undertaking, and there are going to be questions, and you're going to need more resources to make this happen.
Are you speaking for BOMA or as a registered lobbyist for the other Susan?
Yes. Sure, both.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm concerned that you need more staff because I co-chair the Tree Code project right now, and they're getting 60 calls a day on trees. You have 1,000 buildings that are going to have to do something. You're going to need more staff. Another question.
I didn't pair either, but
I'm overwhelmed.
I'm sorry. Can I do anything for you?
You're on the roll. Keep going. Okay.
Something nice about Jimmy Carter, I think, would go a long way.
Other states that have the mandates, the utilities are able to upload the data from the utility to portfolio manager. There's some magic button in the sky. I don't know how it works, but right now our utilities are not there. So the burden of setting up the accounts, tracking the data, inputting the data is going to fall solely on the building owners until the utilities get up to speed. And speaking of buildings, for my landlord, John Russell, he has a building. They do great things. I love my building. Don't kick me out. But for some of my members that have 50, 60, 70 buildings, this is going to be a huge burden. You're talking about a separate account for every building, separate utility bills. It's going to be expensive, and it's going to be time-consuming. So I was pleased to hear Commissioner Bailey talk about the PACE program, and I hope the City of Portland can work with Multnomah County to help us finance this, because it's the only way it's going to happen.
The city and the county, by the way, thanks for bringing that up. I mean, we're working very well together, and everything from coordinating what we do and how we budget to trying to make tax policy make sense. So I have a high level of expectation that if it's possible that through governmental coordination we can help, that we will, because we really do have an effective working relationship with the county now that should bear fruit for this problem.
So, thanks.
Thank you, Mayor Hales and Commissioners. My name is Jeanette Shaw, and I'm authorized to represent McKinstry and its energy division here today. We, as you may know, we're a full-service design-build contractor, and we specialize in many things, but in particular integrated mechanical and electrical plumbing energy. And we have offices in 19 states, and proud to say we've been here in Oregon for over 46 years. And I'm here to share not only McKinstry thoughts, but also our support for the City of Portland's proposed energy performance reporting for commercial buildings. We commend the work that's done by the City of Portland's Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, as well as the Commercial Energy Performance Reporting Policy Advisory Group. They put a lot of time and effort in. We're very appreciative of their efforts and for providing us the opportunity to provide the public dialogue. with regards to the performance reporting. As a company, we do believe deeply in energy efficiency and our performance-based outcomes, and we work directly with our clients to track their energy use and sometimes near and very real time. And this also helps us uncover opportunities to improve efficiency and save money, which, of course, we all enjoy doing. Active energy management, as you've heard, does provide 3 to 5% of reduction for energy retrofit projects, as well as energy retrofit can go as high as 5 to 30% in energy bill savings. And the good news is when building managers make energy efficiency improvements, they turn to local businesses such as McKinstry and hire those local businesses. Specifically, we have clients that have reported their work tracking energy and performance that it provides the savings. And in particular, one of our clients actually reported that the annual Energy Star benchmarking helps them manage costs as well as seek out new opportunities annually across their portfolio to produce savings. Additionally, the good Energy Star scores assist them in marketing their properties to potential tenants, which, of course, is we always want to do, and as the tenants improve and increase here in Oregon, and gain better pricing structure. The client actually has reported to us and it's that its direct use of portfolio manager improves their score at little or no cost to them. So in closing, energy benchmarking to our clients does not require a lot of effort. It assists in the part of building owners to fulfill their tenants, and also with for owners and managers, just knowing how much energy their building consumes is the first step towards reducing it and saving money. Thank you again for your time, and look forward to hearing further dialogue from my colleagues.
Thank you. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you, and Mayor Hales and Commissioners, I'm pleased to be here today to speak in favor of the Portland's commercial building energy performance reporting. For the record, I'm Alan Scott. I'm a director with YR&G Consulting. I'm also here as a board member of the American Institute of Architects Portland chapter, so representing the architectural community. Just a little context on my perspective that I'm bringing here today. While I am a proud 28-year resident of Portland and working in the sustainability field here, I'm also starting a new office for YR&G, which is currently based in New York, Chicago, and Denver. So I'm bringing some perspectives from my colleagues from other cities, two of which have adopted similar measures. First, I just wanted to state for context, and as a Portland resident, I've been very pleased with our leadership in areas of green transportation, infrastructure, carbon emission, and climate action at the city level. And so there's been tremendous effort there, as well as leadership in city buildings going green. So the next untapped potential is us supporting the private sector in energy efficiency and in raising the bar, because there's tremendous untapped potential in existing buildings' energy performance. Just the reason why I'm so excited about this is because it is a big win for both building owners, tenants, and the environment to touch on this by reducing operating costs, making buildings more competitive, and then reducing carbon emissions and energy use in buildings. So I'm stating the obvious, but it's a very important element to why I care about this. Just to kind of cap and compliment other people's comments on this, a recent study by the EPA demonstrates this principle of when you measure something, then you can manage it. That study looked at 30,000 buildings within Portfolio Manager and found that just by simply tracking energy performance in Portfolio Manager, on average, buildings reduced energy usage by 7% over 3 years and increased their Energy Star score by 6 points. So that awareness of energy, just the simple awareness, drives efficiency without going into all the investments in energy retrofits and other things. So that gets people started and moving down that road. So I wanted to kind of address, based on our experience working with clients who are commercial building owners, is this type of reporting a burden on them? And I would say hardly, because it is the best management practice of building owners to pay attention to their energy in their buildings, and it's an opportunity for us to encourage others along the way. So to close out this out and bring that perspective from other cities, I wanted to share some lessons learned from my colleagues who have been working with building owners in Chicago and New York. And what have they found? And we've been working both with individual building owners as well as large portfolio owners in those cities. One of the things we see is in Chicago, compliance level, initial compliance was 90% on buildings that had fell into the program. So very high compliance. In New York, it was 70%. So it was already something that people were doing, and they jumped into it readily without a lot of resistance. The other piece, anecdotally, I guess from feedback we've received from building owners, is that there are many of them that it was like, no big deal. We're already doing this, so we'll just report it as we have to for the requirements. Others, maybe they were lagging a little bit, but it was a little nudge they needed to start doing more of that work. And of course, there were some that were maybe initially resistant, but once they jumped into it, they found that it wasn't as hard as they expected. So it worked. Closing the last kind of lesson learned I wanted to share about that is that the participation of utilities was really critical to the success in those two cities. Building owners appreciated the utilities making it easier for them to report, providing tools and other support. So having utilities on board is part of the success model for an energy reporting initiative. So in closing, I'm just really excited about energy performance reporting. It is a best management practice for buildings. It increases competitiveness, saves owners and tenants money, reduces carbon emissions, and it's a leadership position to drive the market for further sustainability, which is an area we need to focus. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, you know that observational effect you mentioned. I occasionally get to drive a Prius, of course, it has that function where you can display the consumption of either electric power when the engine kicks in to charge the batteries, and you become dangerously interested in that display while you're driving the vehicle because you're already those competitive instincts kick in, and you want to see if you can get the usage
exactly.
of the electric power even higher and the engine lower, and that just the power of observation changes your behavior in the car. So obviously you make the point, it also does once you start looking at your energy use in a building. So thank you. Thank you all. Appreciate all your work on this. We know, Susan, that we occasionally need you to come to a meeting here. We appreciate the fact that you did so for this.
Pleasure.
Thanks. Three more people, please. If they're here, Elise Glancy, Carrie Gear, and Michael Harrison. Good afternoon, Elise. You can start.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and commissioners. I'm Elise Glancy from the Port of Portland. The Port supports the adoption of the proposed City of Portland's energy reporting policy for commercial buildings and the city's goal to reduce total energy use of all commercial buildings by 25% by 2030. This policy makes sense. It targets an area of greatest gain in addressing climate impacts. As you've heard, commercial building energy use accounts for 25% of the city's greenhouse gas emissions and is the second largest source of carbon emissions in the region. Energy tracking and management is part of the Port's commitment to sustainable practices. In 2008, the Port became a founding reporter to the Climate Registry and has reported our carbon emissions each year since. While the majority of port-owned facilities would not be subject to reporting under this policy, as the predominant use is not commercial in nature, the Port has committed to join with other public partners, Multnomah County, the City of Portland, and Metro, in voluntarily reporting our energy use at all port-controlled buildings and support port tenants, tenant-owned commercial buildings on our property in reporting. We believe that reporting by public agencies will lead the way for others to voluntarily track their energy use and help model conservation. Transparency of building energy information will help us track our progress toward meeting our greenhouse gas goals. I want to thank the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability staff for their work on this. It's been very helpful, the workshops and other information they provided, and I appreciate the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you. Ms. Greer, welcome.
Thank you. My name is Carrie Greer, and I'm with Pacific Power, and I'm here to provide you some utility perspective today on how this proposal will work for us. So I just want to underscore that Pacific Power is very interested in helping commercial customers achieve more energy efficiency, and we think that benchmarking can be one of those tools that helps them move forward. So our current experience with Energy Star Portfolio Manager is different than the other Portland utilities. We've been working with having this data available for several years, and there are some factors here I'll get into here in just a moment. Currently, customers can log into their secure account. They can press a button, and it will provide 24 months of Pacific Power electric energy information that's available in a portfolio manager compliant spreadsheet. So the customer can take the spreadsheet and they can manually update it into Portfolio Manager today. The customer then enters in their own other data, so square footage, employees, and whatnot, and they can produce their own Energy Star score. So some external factors that have really driven us to perform this data or create this data for customers is that we have areas outside of Oregon that have really influenced this. So California and Washington both have state policies that require customers, commercial customers, to participate with energy benchmarking, as well as Georgetown University Energy Prize. We have quite a few communities that are participating in this competition currently that require public buildings to track their performance over the next several years. Because of all of this interest in other states, in Portland now as well, we have entered into an RFP process to automate benchmarking data. So currently it's manual. We believe by the end of the year we will have this, customers can go in, select the meters that they're interested in automatically putting data into Portfolio Manager, and off they go. And we will supply that data on a regular basis. So along with this RFP process, we're midway through it now. We think it'll be fully functional end of the year. But we're also analyzing the costs and staffing requirements to go along with that. So it will cost us to perform the IT work. We believe that there will be some utility staffing time as well to manage customer inquiries. So some prior experience with Portfolio Manager tool. During the Cool Schools days here in Oregon, Pacific Power wanted to help our schools and public buildings utilize Portfolio Manager. So we did a series of workshops around the state doing some classroom training on what is Energy Star, Portfolio Manager, how do you generate a score. So we did classroom, and then we did computer labs so they can get their hands on this thing and put data into it so they know how it worked. So we had about 230 participants come to the class. It was a half-day session. Most people got it. It was not so bad. Some are more computer savvy than others, and so that will be universal here as well. I think that some of our participants were surprised at how much data they needed to provide to get a score at the end. So it wasn't just the energy information from utilities, but it's they got to figure out their square footage, how many employees, how many computers, how many cash registers, how many other things need to go into Portfolio Manager to create an accurate score on the backside. So that was kind of for more the simple buildings. I think that we had some people realizing that the more complicated their buildings got or the more business types that were in their building, I got to go figure out what's the deal with the pool. We've got a data center. There are other things that they're going to have to go get. So they were able to do it, but there were some other data requirements that they were just going to have to think through on how to obtain that. So I just wanted to wrap up quickly with a couple notes here. Our utility is different than Portland General and Northwest Natural, and I believe that they'll probably provide some comments here today. Because of the external factors, we've been doing this thing for customers for several years. So we've had several years to fine-tune it, and we started this RFP inquiry last year. So we've been in this process for a while. The benchmarking that's being proposed requires dedicated focus from building owners. I mean, they really will have to participate to get data in and accurate to create a good score on the end. So we are making a recommendation to the city to spend a lot of time looking at training opportunities for these building owners. It can be a complicated system, so we really encourage training. So not only training during the startup phase, but training ongoing. Building owners will change, designees will change. It's just great to keep people refreshed. And since we did the Cool Schools training, the version of Portfolio Manager today has changed as well. So we need to update our own training as well. And then lastly, about public disclosure. Because of our experience with training and watching customers enter data and some of the strange results that they got, we would recommend delaying public disclosure for 2 years just to get through the hiccups of, did I do this data right? Did I transpose a number? Did I add too much information or did I not add enough? We really would like to see accurate scores or as accurate as possible scores before they go out to the public. And that's it from Pacific Power.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Mr. Harrison.
Good afternoon. Michael Harrison, Oregon Health and Science University. OHSU is committed to sustainable buildings as evidenced by the LEED Platinum status of our two newest buildings, which is the Center for Health and Healing and the Collaborative Life Science Building. But what you sort of don't see, which is less obvious, is the millions we spend every year on upgrading our energy systems up on Markham Hill. Some of you know we have buildings that are 100 years old and very old systems, and so it doesn't take our energy manager too much thought to be able to look around and find plenty of opportunities to improve the energy performance of the hill. However, by having a number, he derives a number monthly showing the energy usage of our entire campus, enables him to have a conversation with folks that make the financial decisions within OHSU to stress how the savings affect the entire bottom line, and that the money we save on savings ultimately drives down the cost of providing health care, drives down the cost of doing research, and drives down the cost of providing health education. And if we didn't measure the number and didn't continually report the number, it would be a little harder to have that conversation internally. Mostly, just wanted to show up to thank staff. Obviously, thank you, Council, for giving me the opportunity to testify. But thanks, staff, for working with universities and working with hospitals. We're both. To find a way to report energy in a way that is meaningful. I believe, Mr. Mayor, it sounded like you had a question a little bit earlier about the brewery blocks. I'm no expert in the brewery blocks, but I do know the challenges we faced. We wanted to make sure that the numbers that we produced and provided and made public were accurate numbers. And given that we have some buildings that maybe 75% of this meter is on this building and then 25% of the energy goes to this other building, that's sort of one challenge of reporting meaningful numbers. Another is if you have a central plant and it serves 20 buildings, it takes a lot more energy to serve the building that's farthest away from the plant. And which building do you apportion those extra costs to? So we pretty quickly ran into the fact that if we wanted to take our energy manager and give him totally over and dedicate him to coming up with a more meaningful building-by-building scenario, it would take him away from some very near-term investments like the $10 million upgrade to our main chiller plant that's going to save HVAC costs of by 80%. So we have really low-hanging fruit given we have such an old system. So it may be that newer buildings or newer campuses, as it were, that have centralized systems have a more accurate system, and then when it was built, the submeters were put in, and folks focused on one submeter per building, and they may not face the complications that we would face. And so, again, it's important to track. We're happy to make the information available on a campus level, and we appreciate staff working with us so we can spend most of our time and invest most of our money on getting the biggest returns and retrofitting our system. Is that? Again, without me knowing really anything about the brewery box, other than knowing it's a lot newer than OHSU.
Situation, yeah, just bigger scale, actually. Yeah. Questions for this panel? Thank you all very much. And I think to close our invited testimony, we have a video from Mayor Mike Nutter in Philadelphia, former president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors, and somebody who's innovated a time or two. So it'd be nice to hear from him.
Hi, I'm Mike Nutter, Mayor of the City of Philadelphia. I want to briefly share our experience in developing and implementing a building benchmarking and disclosure law. In Philadelphia, more than 60% of citywide greenhouse gas emissions stem from building energy use. We came to understand very quickly that in order to make meaningful reductions, we would have to address our building energy usage issues. We had little information about building energy performance and few programs in place in which to engage with private building owners on energy-related matters. In 2012, my administration worked with our Philadelphia City Council to pass a law requiring commercial buildings over 50,000 square feet to report and disclose energy usage using the free Energy Star Portfolio Manager tool. 3 years into our program, I have some exciting news to report. First, building owners are actually willing and able to report this data. More than 1,900 buildings reported last year, a 90% compliance rate. Just last month, Philadelphia City Council passed another law to expand energy benchmarking to large apartments and condos, which will add another 800 buildings to our program. Second, based on the data we've now collected, we now know that there are opportunities for energy savings in buildings of all types and ages. In fact, we've learned that some of our older facilities often outperform similar newer buildings. And finally, we're very proud to have made this information available about building performance in an easy-to-use visualization tool. Having this data readily available helps us to recognize the highest performing buildings and to reach out to those who might want to learn more about energy efficiency. Educating building owners and improving building performance will help Philadelphia to reach our carbon emissions reduction goals. We are building out a next generation of programs using what we have learned. I encourage Portland to join Philadelphia and the 10 other cities with similar policies in place to take this important first step. I want to thank the City of Portland for your leadership in the urban sustainability movement. I've had the pleasure of working with Mayor Hales through a variety of forums, and we often look to your work to guide what we do right here in Philadelphia. I'm glad to have had this opportunity to share back. If you want to learn more about our program, visit PhillyBuildingBenchmarking.com or just come visit us in Philadelphia.
That's great. Yeah, he's an active participant in the C40 process on behalf of Philadelphia, and been a real leader there. So it's nice to hear from him. Okay,
Mayor, questions. I really appreciated that because based on what I read about him over the years, he's one of my favorite mayors. But I had no idea what he looked or sounded like, so that was a real treat.
He's great, and he's a great colleague. So we have some folks signed up in addition to the folks that we've already heard from. Let's take those, please.
Okay, we have a total of 16 people signed up. Wow. The first three, please come on up, are Marshall Runkle, Marlon Crump, and Stan Price.
Okay, some of them are still here. Marshall was here, but come on up, please.
Okay, let's go with Jenna Garman and Anna Hotel.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Stan Price. I'm the executive director of the Northwest Energy Efficiency Council. We're a nonprofit business association that represents companies that provide efficiency products and services. Many of my members are in the room today. I'll keep my comments very brief. I won't reiterate the value propositions that you've already heard. I will just make underscore a couple of points. There's a value proposition, I think, for you all as elected leaders in the city of Portland. The information in aggregate provides an opportunity for you all to track the performance of your building stock over time so that you can measure progress towards important energy and climate goals. So the information is important to the individual building owner, but also important to you all as the elected officials for the city of Portland. My last point is I just want to commend the Bureau for the work that they've done on this particular proposal. My organization has been involved nationally on a number of these benchmarking ordinances at the state and local levels, and these folks really did take a lot of lessons learned from those experiences and have applied it to the material you'll see in front of you. So we're very hopeful and encouraged that the City of Portland will move forward with this. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and Commissioners. My name is Jenna Garman, and I'm here representing Climate Solutions. We are a Northwest-based clean energy nonprofit, and our mission is to accelerate practical and profitable solutions to climate change. So I'm here to voice our strong support for this policy and to also commend BPS staff for their excellent work on the policy. This policy is really about transparency and empowerment, and it presents a huge opportunity to save money, reduce emissions, and create jobs. As you well know, buildings are the largest source of carbon emissions in Portland, yet data on how buildings use energy is not widely available for tenants, owners, and others who can take action to improve energy use. By making building energy use visible and actionable in the marketplace, this policy will drive the market toward energy efficiency and reduce the carbon footprint of Portland's buildings. In doing so, it will also achieve a number of other key benefits. It will reduce energy costs by helping owners and tenants identify opportunities to cut energy waste.